Next on MLR Weekly, former MLR Deputy Commissioner and current USA Rugby CEO Bill Gorin, John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning, Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, the best dang recap in sports, and picks and plays of the week. Gah. Rugby Wrap-Ups MLR Weekly brought to you by Sheehy Auto Stores. It's easy at Sheehy. The Pig and Whistle, New York City, the world's best rugby pub, and Lean and Limber, stretching your way to a healthier lifestyle. Presented by Rugby Wrap-Up, Matt McCarthy in New York City. Thank you for joining us once again. It's much appreciated, and we think you'll be very happy with our show today. We have, waiting in the wings, former Deputy Commissioner of Major League Rugby, now the CEO of USA Rugby, Mr. Bill Gorin. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, back from helping his family out. It's great to have him back. And we have our recurring segment, Rugby Morning's Coffee Break with John Fitzpatrick. But before we go to that, which we normally do, I know we are honoring a request from a fan. That's what we do. We listen to you fans, and a little chubby-cheeked kid named Ryan Ginty in Chicago asked that we do the recap first, so that's what we're going to do. Here's the best recap in Major League Rugby right now for Ryan. Rain-soaked Starfire Stadium was rocking as undefeated heavyweights Seattle and Houston started the weekend with a Friday Night Lights spectacular that more would have seen had it started earlier. Anywho, ex-Seawolf A.J. Alatimu kicked for 15 points versus the current Seawolves, who looked beached going into the half down 23-8. But Rucky the Seawolf passionately tore apart the locker room, frustrated by not being able to speak, and Seattle responded with 32 points in the final 40 minutes. Andrew Duratalo, who was working in a pizzeria earlier in the day, bounced past one for what could have been the equalizer. But short-footed Mac Mason was unable to cement a tie with a tough conversion, and Seattle's six tries were oh so short versus Houston's still perfect clouder of cats. 42 final. Watch the replay. It's worth it. Down in D.C., the first of two back-to-back cross-country matches had San Diego head coach Danny Lee wondering if the travel to Old Glory's ground would be the Legion's Achilles. It just writes itself, folks. Indeed, just a point separated the two teams after 63 minutes, but the visitors, crafty vets, kept their cool, capitalized on an OG yellow card for a hero try, and then cruised to a 27-11 win. Further south in the Sunshine State, Miami and the team some call Charlotte and some call Carolina were each looking for their first W. It was the home team Sharks, however, that feasted on porous defense and anthem miscues, coasting to a 50-21 win. At Choctaw Stadium in Arlington, Texas, the team with the stingiest defense, New Orleans, faced the side with the second most generous defense, the Jackals. Only the newbie Anthem have allowed more points than Dallas, so Nola was ready for a, wait for it, gold rush. Teofilo Ed Fido, incorrectly called Fido or Fido over and over, made his return felt, and Taniela Filamone added another two tries as the Big Easy Bunch trademark scored five, making it look easy in a win over a talented but discombobulated Dallas side. Indeed, the New Orleans Zinzins look good, but their kicking for posts remains problematic. Final score, NOLA 35, Dallas 22. In the second city, it was the second home opener for Major League Rugby's Chicago franchise. And it was Jason Patras, who runs like his feet hurt, who slopped his way through Chicago's slow-mo defense, even scoring with the Jacks down a flap or a man. Meanwhile, the Hounds were sniffing for another win, but were barking up the wrong tree. But the Maulers of Midway trademark did grab an important losing bonus point. Final, 22-17 New England. finally, in Los Angeles, Utah wore attire that was not exactly warrior-like, but the Mountain People and the Southern Cal locals battled back and forth in an exciting match that saw a volleyball punch pass end in a cruise into the tri-zone. But the steady hands and busy feet of Dan Hollinshead, who steered our Fantasy Ruckers team to its first win, helped the Hollywood homies earn their first W. 36-32 LA. And now it's time for our recurring segment, Rugby Mornings Coffee Break, with John Fitzpatrick out of the District of Columbia, the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. John, you're shaking your head no. What's the matter?
That son of a Ryan Ginty is having me go second?
Hey, he's just a chubby-cheeked little kid living in Chicago who rode in, and I think it's a feel-good story. Next!
Anyway, Matt, so we are a quarter of the way through the regular season, at least in terms of number of games played, and the Houston SaberCats remain the only unbeaten team. Friday night, they went up to Seattle, beat the Seawolves at Starfire Stadium for the first time in franchise history. Houston had a chance to tie it at the end on the conversion kick, but it went wide. So, Matt, fair to say that Houston and Seattle are the two best teams in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I didn't see any of the second half because it was played at 5 a.m. in Eastern time, you know, and I was in bed because I was going to work on Adrian Balfour's farm, the owner of the Seawolves. He stayed up for it. He was especially grumpy, and he really took it to me while we were shearing sheep in his on his farm. Next.
Shearing sheep. Hey, and other historic firsts, both the Rugby Football Club Los Angeles, or RFCLA for short, right? And the Miami Sharks, they earned their first wins in franchise history with Miami fly half Felipe Echeverry earning Player of the Week honors. Matt, are you buying into both of those teams contending for playoffs in their respective conferences?
I don't know about playoffs because the top three teams are out of the gate substantially faster than the other ones, and you got to play a lot of catch up, but it's a long season, as you at the Fantasy Ruckers would know, because yours truly got our team rugby wrap up, got right back into it, and it ain't a sprint, it's a marathon, and you'll learn that lesson, because another guy had a great game, another fly half named Dan Hollinshead had a very good game for LA, who got their first win. Next.
Let's remind the viewers that you are still in last place. But Matt, moving on, we've had a few brothers battle with and against each other in MLR. So congrats to Messiah and Mika Cruze, who appeared together on the field for the Utah Warriors in week four. Messiah even scored in his first MLR match. What was one thing you and your brothers accomplished together, if anything?
We had some really serious parties at our house when our parents went to the opera in New York City on Friday nights during opera season. Had the whole high school for generations because my brother Tommy is 10 and a half years older than I am. And there's four of us. You do the math. Next!
Matt, I want to give a speedy recovery to Chicago Hounds wing Nate Osberger. Scary moment there in Chicago when he went down after a tackle and had to be stretchered off the field. Probably a little bit more of a precaution, but the Hounds did tweet out that Nate was okay. That is good to hear. We'd love to see Nate back on the field when he is good and ready.
Yeah, Nate's one of the good people on and off the pitch. Always rooting for him, regardless of what team he's playing. Or if you're John Layfield, you say irregardless on the rugby odds. And unfortunately, Nate was going to be here in Chicago. I mean, here in New York, playing for the New York franchise. And we all know how that went. And I don't have a job. Next! That's not true. I do have a job. A new job. Given to me by Adrian Balfour, owner of the Seattle Seawolves. Check this out.
Adrian, what's more difficult? This or putting a team out every week with the Seattle Seawolves?
Putting the team out is not the hard thing. Keeping them out is the hard thing. Both. Equally difficult in different ways.
And different kinds of hay.
Different kinds of sports nutrition, vitamins, and all the rest of it, yeah.
You're not fooling anybody in that clothing, Mr. Wolf. Did I tell you the one about the shepherd and his crooked staff? They're on the lamb. Adrian, you've finally proven that you've lost all your marbles. Because you got me driving this thing.
It's good. Look at it. It's just a big... I have no idea what I am doing. No idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, what'd you think of my new job?
Well, Matt, that was a role you were most definitely born for. Congratulations.
I don't know how to take that, but next!
And Matt, to close out this segment, Friday Night Lights again! This time you've got to stay up for this one. It's not at 10:30 Eastern time. It's at 8:30 p.m. 2-2 Dallas hosts the 4-0 Houston Sabercats. Matt, come on. You're staying up for this one, aren't you?
Hey, man. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Ben Franklin, come on. On that note, I want to thank Mr. John Fitzpatrick from Rugby Morning with his coffee break, calling from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. John, thank you. Let's take a quick break.
Digs like a demented mole there.
Need a great price on a new vehicle? Sheehy makes it easy. Easy Price shows you our lowest prices on the Mid-Atlantic's largest selection. Find your best price online or at any of our 31 dealerships.
It's easy at Sheehy. Sheehy.com.
You need your cleats? You need them tomorrow? If you order today by 3 p.m. New York time or noon L.A. time, they can have them to you tomorrow. Young, old, male, female, if you're playing on turf, if you're playing on grass, if you're playing in the rain, you're playing in the heat, they've got you covered. RugbyNow.com. Go there now. And we are back with the former Deputy Commissioner of Major League Rugby turned CEO of USA Rugby, Mr. Bill Gorin. Bill, welcome back to MLR Weekly.
Absolutely. Thank you. Excited.
I got to ask you, have you lost your remaining marbles? Because you have taken on what is considered the most notorious job title in American rugby history. Steeped in failure, pockmarked in unfulfilled promises, indecisiveness, fiscal disasters. You had a great gig as Deputy Commissioner of Major League Rugby. Why in the name of whomever did you take this job?
Like, it's a big challenge. It's going to be a lot of work, but there's a lot of good people that are pushing in the right direction, and there's an opportunity here. So I took the job because I think that there's light at the end of the tunnel. We can take this very much into the future and have a lot of success. And it's going to take a lot of people, but I'll just be the one helping.
Well, I got to say, you're the rarest of breed because you're an American CEO of USA Rugby. Go figure.
Yeah. Hey, well, at first I'm a Texan and then an American. Come on.
All right. Okay. All right. You want to, we could throw that in there. What are the differences between a commissioner and a CEO?
Really, where I'm going to be spending a lot of my time is at the high level alignment with World Rugby, USOPC, and driving us forward through those two major projects and working with our staff to help alignment throughout USA Rugby. But my time will be spent mostly with aligning up and then helping guide the aligning down.
And what's the difference between what you did with Major League Rugby and what you're doing here?
No, it is a significant difference because I'm going to be focusing on a little higher stuff. At MLR, I was working day to day with every single team, with every single project that we had going on with each staff member. So I'll just have a lot of faith in the people that are around me to be able to focus on some of the other relationships that I need to focus on.
Will we see, do you think, in anytime soon, a women's professional league in the States? Not that this is the responsibility of the CEO of USA Rugby, but, you know, you are handling the national team, trying to get them improved, more playing, all that. Or will we just see maybe a beefed up WPL, the Women's Premier League?
I don't know what we're going to see. What I can say is on the women's side, I've been incredibly impressed with the professionalism, the way these women go about their day to day to be the best athletes that they possibly can be and represent America on the world stage, if it's Olympics or World Cup. There's a lot of opportunity there. And yeah, there should be a professional women's league at some point. I really believe there that it's a on a professional sports level, it's a sellable product and it's an exciting product. And I think we will see it. I'm not sure what the path is today.
All right. Well, we do have some tangible developments on the side of player pool development between USA Rugby and Major League Rugby, the existing men's professional league, in its seventh season, if you've been in a coma or in a cave. And this is a development that I never thought I would see in my lifetime after, you know, kind of a previous indifference, if you will, from World Rugby, the mothership with USA Rugby and Major League Rugby. This is unprecedented waters. We've got a partnership in ownership of the Anthem out of Charlotte, 2/3 ownership from World Rugby, I think with a 4-year commitment, or that's what's been bandied about, and the rest owned by Major League Rugby owners. You're an integral part of this development. Can you walk us through it and how it happened? Because it's an amazing development.
Yeah, 100%. It's a partnership between the two, World Rugby and MLR, with USA Rugby's portion being the high performance side. The opportunity came up late in the offseason last year. And we brought this to MLR brought this to the table with World Rugby and USA Rugby. And quickly everyone saw this was the opportunity to truly align. There's always been a question how aligned we were. I think this puts it all to bed now. You have all three entities working directly together to develop the next level of Eagles and to develop the talent that's going to represent our country and perform incredibly well.
And the synergy now, you have Scott Lawrence, but he's the main guy now. He's got control of the Eagles men's 15s team, and he'll have a say with the Anthem and how that goes. All right, but we've got some international stuff to talk about. We've got the Olympics in Paris, and I know you're brand new on the job, so it's really an unfair question, but what is your expectation for the women's and men's teams in the sevens in Paris?
Yeah, as you said, I'm brand new on the job. My expectation is they perform at the best of their ability, both men's and women's, and the results show that. So I can't say that it should be a medal as much as I want one. I want them to perform the best of their abilities and get the results that.
You got CEO speak down pretty quickly, friend. That's pretty damn good. The 2027 Rugby World Cup. The bar is not high for the men's side right now because we didn't qualify for the 2023 World Cup. Yeah. So qualifying basically gets you off the hook. But is that good enough for you?
Is that good enough for me? I'm not sure because I need to know what our goals are.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. I know that one well. And what about the women's side?
Yeah, again, on the women's side, I'm incredibly impressed by the athletes that are on the women's team. And, you know, there's just so much upside on the women's side that we're looking forward to seeing how they perform and how they represent our country. And the meeting that team, you realize, like, there's something you can get excited about.
How much traveling do you think you'll be doing to Major League Rugby games?
I think this year, and probably during my time with USA Rugby, I'm going to travel quite a bit. My goal and job is really to get full alignment throughout the community. So, yeah, I will be going to MLR team games, but I will also be going to community games, collegiate games. I hope every home team wins, every fan gets to see their team win, and everyone's happy and they fill seats. Because at the end of the day, I want those seats filled.
All right. Kumbaya. Former Deputy Commissioner, Mr. Bill Gorin, turned CEO of USA Rugby. Thank you, sir, for taking the time out. Much appreciated. And now our Major League Rugby Play of the Week, brought to you by the Rugby Network. In Los Angeles, the Utah Warriors were hoping to keep RFCLA winless. Part of that hope was having Joe Mano, not Mono, back in action. And Mano did not disappoint, going mano-a-mano with a classic pie face, a great try, and an epic finish. In Chi-Town, New England's Jason Patros cast some kind of spell, freezing the hounds in their tracks as he unleashed Tom Brady / Zamboni-like non-speed to run unscathed for what seemed to be an hour for the first of his two startling tries. In Seattle, the Sabercats and Seawolves combined for 10 tries in their epic match, but one that was particularly sweet was J.P. Smith going short side with a quick chip kick and a great finish by the scoring machine that is Jade Stickling. And the Rugby Network Play of the Week is the Joe Mano try. It's important for fans and the league to have this blossoming superstar back and healthy, lighting up the pitch. And now your TRO, the Rugby Odds Picks of the Week, with WWE Hall of Famer turned rugby advocate John Bradshaw Layfield and King Gifte Bailu, inventor of words.
I think Houston rolls into Dallas, and I think Dallas plays much better than they did last week. I think that first 2 weeks ago when they won the score 68 points, I think emotional letdown this week. They're going to play hard this week, but Houston wins this game.
You have the anthem going up against Old Glory. This is a game that Old Glory absolutely needs. Unfortunately, the anthem are the punching bags of the league this year. Look for Old Glory to win this at minus 16. I think this is absolutely going to be a blowout game on the road.
I wouldn't like to be at the bottom of that.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
This is the Rugby Odds, where an unlikely pundit panel of a wordsmith, a WWE legend, a rugby star, and a supermodel scour the globe, seeking best bets and bad behavior. Are you not entertained? US fans, you can tune into every match live on Flow Rugby. How do we know that? Because we're on there all the time. And we're back, and we're happy to welcome back Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News. Brian, we're sorry we missed you last week. We hope everything is okay on your front.
All good, and glad to be back in the regular swing of things. So thanks for the well wishes.
Let's move on to next weekend. Our TRO, the Rugby Odds partners, came up with the spreads, and you got Dallas hosting Houston, minus -9 Houston in the Texas Derby.
Yeah, you know, if Dallas had showed up in that first half against NOLA, I would have, you know, been a little more inclined to say this would be closer, but Houston looked pretty good. I think they are, you know, depends of how long Max Van Dyke is coming out. So they may be a little vulnerable in the scrum, but I'll go with Houston that one. I mean, they're unbeaten right now. I don't think Dallas quite has the juice to get that one done. So Battle of Texas coming up. I'll take Houston to cover that spread.
All right, Chicago hosting Seattle. Seattle missing some players in that match versus Houston, but they're getting players back, and they got a couple of international guys back. I mean, Andrew Duratalo played the last 20 minutes, and he signed at 11 a.m. on Friday for Seattle. I mean, but they're getting some of those guys back, and Chicago's not a big road trip. Chicago's struggling.
Yeah, I'll go with the Seals. They'll be really frustrated to lose that game at home, even with the, you know, pulling Duratalo out of the stands to play. He wasn't even in the lineup when they announced it before the game.
He's great. He's just a freak of nature.
There he is. I mean, he was training with them in the preseason, so it wasn't like he's been completely out of shape.
It's a whole different ball of wax.
That's true. I'll go with Seattle this one. Chicago's got some work to do. They're just not living up to their billing right now. I thought they would be title contenders. Right now, they're looking like a flop. Guys, sort yourselves out. Do something, but they got to do better. But I don't think it's going to happen against Seattle.
Okay, Anthem hosting Old Glory. Old Glory coming off a disappointing loss, but they're favored by 16 points. And I've said this on the Rugby Odds. You can expect a track meet when you're playing the Anthem. There's going to be a lot of points scored.
Yeah. 16, geez. I would hope that Anthem is doing nothing but defense in training, because that's really what they need to focus on. It's been bad, and it's not just about missing tackles. The shape has been poor. It just has not been good at all for the last couple weeks. They can score tries with natural ability. It's clear that they have talented players in that team. They have to play defense. It's a two-way game, and they're just not doing it right now. I'll go with Old Glory to cover that. You know, I hope Anthem actually beats, you know, does better than that spread, but I'll go with Old Glory But, you know, we'll see. I want to see improvement from Anthem in defense.
All right, and then finally, Miami versus San Diego. This is one of those big road trips for San Diego. They just came off a big road trip, and now they're going into Miami. -6, though, San Diego, the road favorites. And I'm wondering, did they stay on the East Coast, or did they go back and they're coming back?
Yeah, I'd like to know the answer to that before answering this question. I have to assume that they are actually going to stay out there and train or something this week. Man, are you really going to take that long flight back and then the long flight? Do you send another squad of guys? I don't know. I'll take San Diego. I mean, Miami got a bit of a free pass, let's be honest, a few olays in that match against Anthem. So as much as they've got some talent, you know, although, you know, they bring back Thomas Cobali at scrum half, they got a couple guys who missed that game as well. So this will be a close one. But, man, San Diego just did not seem to be bothered at all by the trip to Old Glory. They certainly tempered that trip exceptionally well. So I'll go with San Diego to cover that one. But this is definitely an interesting game to watch.
But Brian, you know, we're still stuck here waiting for Gateau.
Very slick. Yeah, look, I'm hearing he's not going to be back till mid-season at the earliest. He's got some kind of contractual thing going on in Australia right now. And, yeah, he won't be back for a few weeks yet is what I'm hearing.
This comes after, you know, previously with the L.A. Giltinis in his second year, he didn't play at all the entire season.
But maybe this was
the
plan.
Does he exist? Hey, Gateau. Do you
maybe
exist?
I guess this explains the signing of Lincoln McClutchie. I mean, they must have known he was going to miss a bunch of it. And maybe this is the plan to kind of rest him so he doesn't get beaten up in the first half of the season. So there you go.
Yes, I guess. All right. On that note, final thought, Brian.
Nice to see a couple teams get a week off. And, you know, for those of us who actually sit around and watch every game every weekend, we get a few extra hours to ourselves. It's been a breathless opening to the season. I love the competitiveness. And it looks like we got a great three quarters of the season to go.
Hey, wait a minute. The Seattle match started at 10:30 Eastern, which is 11:30 p.m. your time.
That was not an enjoyable way to start. At least it was entertaining.
I went to bed at 23-8 at halftime because I was getting up early to go help Adrian Balfour shear sheep in Pennsylvania, the Seattle owner. He's got a farm. And literally, you know, he stayed up, and then he was up at 5. I don't know how he – all right, thank you, Brian. On that note, we're out of time. I want to thank Mr. Brian Ray of America's Rugby News, Mr. John Fitzpatrick of Rugby Morning, Mr. Bill Gorin of USA Rugby, formerly of the MLR, and thank the chubby-cheeked kid Ryan Ginty in Chicago for his suggestion. And, of course, thank you for tuning in. Please check out our other programs, including the critically acclaimed The Rugby Odds, the College Rugby Wrap-Up. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Look for us on different networks. Check us out on TRN. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and please join our American Red Cross blood donor team. I'm going to go jump into a boiling vat of water.